You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. And we are live. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and we are recording. This will be, most of you are probably hearing this on the podcast feed. I'm your host, Craig Lindell. This is the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast. We are part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and I haven't been on this podcast in a while, but I'm joined by Gerbs, Joe Burberry. How's it going, Joe?
Good. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing well. It's I'd be much better if I wasn't being pinged every 3 seconds by our friend Dave.
I'm getting the same messages. So,
yeah.
Sounds all right.
So anyway, we have some big site news. I guess I'll start off as one of the owners of Waiting for Next Year. We have been around a long time. I replaced Rick. After Rick decided to take off, Andrew and Scott and I have been running the site for a good long time now. And slowly but surely, our family lives and professional lives and everything else has kind of gotten in the way of us doing a good job of leading by example and running the site the way that we always wanted to. And so we were kind of looking to figure out what the next plan was, what was next for the site. And first thing we did was analyze all the people who are already with the site. We offered it to Joe as a very natural selection, and Joe said, cool, let's do it. And so you are now the new owner of Waiting for Next Year.
Yep, I am super excited. It did come with a little bit of trepidation. There was the initial was yes, absolutely, and then there was the anxious maybe let's hold off a little bit, but here we are. We're excited to be going forward with Waiting for Next Year and doing this. I've connived the existing owners to still stay on in some respects of some sort. You know, Craig will be here for a little bit just as a help in the transition, and Andrew is still going to do a little bit of the back end stuff. But for the most part, it's going to be me running the show, leading us into the next generation of probably the right word of Waiting for Next Year. So,
let me address that a little bit. Like, I actually don't want to change anything about what doing. I wanted this. The big thing for us was we wanted somebody who was going to honor kind of the legacy that we built and keep it alive so that we could, it's like we owned a bar and we didn't want to own it anymore, but we still want to hang out there. And so we found somebody who'd keep it open and, you know, keep the marquee over the front door and whatever, you know, if you add some cool arcade machines in the back, we're going to be all for it. But we're just going to continue to hang out.
Might make a ladies' night or something. Who knows? You know, not really.
That'd be insane.
Just keeping with the bar theme. That was the only reason I mentioned that. But yeah, this is just a way for us to keep the not that you guys are old blood, but keep the blood coursing, new blood coming in through WFNY. And that's where we're at. That's where we're going. Super excited about all of this. We're going to have a post going up on the website tomorrow that Craig, Andrew, and Scott have all participated and put into as well. Said their last words and everything for the site, the last words. But my wife,
podcast guest, hi.
Yep. You are on live. I want you to be aware of that. So, we're really excited as a family because this was a decision that we both made. But we really love this WFNY family that you guys have created, and we definitely want to keep it going. we call Dave, Uncle Dave, at our house, because he has a daughter that has given a couple clothes to Mel, my oldest. But yeah, it really is a family at WFMY, and we love and respect everybody as much as anything. Would love to bring with this move. We're looking for writers, we're looking for videos, we're looking for podcasters, we're looking for to keep that new blood up and get some more people in on the site. Because as I said in the post tomorrow, in this industry, if you aren't growing, you're dying. And we've been kind of keeping steady as much as possible, keeping our head above water. But, you know, we really want to hear some new voices of what can be for football, for baseball, for Cavs, for whatever's out there. If you want to write about the Crew, you know, we're totally cool with that. I know Dave would love that. Because he's a big Crew head.
One of the coolest phases of the site is when we had Dan Parker, and he would write about the Clippers and the Blue Jackets, and he was bringing a non-Buckeye Columbus flavor to the site because he was a Michigan fan.
Right.
But it was really cool, and all that stuff kind of left when he left, and it's not that we had any less respect for the Blue Jackets. It's just we don't have anybody to write about it. I recently had somebody hit me up and say, hey, have you guys given any thought to writing about Cincinnati? Because they actually are having a really good football season. I was like, we are all for it, but like, unless we have somebody whose passion is that, it's not as bad as it used to be in the old days. Like, if Kent State would have a really good basketball team one year, we would get hate mail that we were ignoring and not covering them. And it was like, look, nothing personal. We just like, and I appreciate that you respect us enough to think that we should be covering the entire waterfront of Ohio sports, but like,
right.
We just can't do it. So first things first, rebuilding, kind of the writer or adding writers. You don't think it's going to come back to the old blogging days? It's still going to kind of be the site that it is, just maybe with a few more posts per week or a few more posts per day.
Yeah. I don't anticipate being, we're not a headline chasing aggregation, you know, market. That's not, I know the site had done that before, but that's not, and I wasn't here when it was that.
I was just going to ask you that. Were you around for those days where
I was? Like, I was not. I've
I could pump out four or five headlines in a day certain days.
Right, and then you know, depending on the day, you could do that, you know, news wise. But that's not the site that that's not what I want to be known for. I want to be known for a little bit more introspective, a little bit more creative on those things. That nothing's wrong with those sites. There's just plenty of them out there. And so I want to be, you know, more interesting with what we have out, whether that be analytical, whether that be historical, you know, however you want to be. You know, I say in the post, I can tell you what WRC Plus is. I can't tell you how to calculate it, but I can tell you how it's graded. And I can tell you, you know, it's on a scale of 100, and I can look at it and tell you that that's good, that's bad, this guy's doing great and not, and go from there. But you know, if you want to dive into more of the in-depth of the baseball, go for it. If you want to get into DVOA and break down film, you know, we've had great times with Jake Burns from now at OBR. Did that for a while. Joe Gilbert is still here. Was doing film rooms every week. Just Game Pass had changed some stuff up that made it a little bit harder for him to do it on a regular basis. But we welcome that. We love hearing and having those kinds of introspective viewpoints and going that way rather than, you know, having a post about who missed practice today for the Cleveland Browns. You know, it's like that's not where we're at. We don't have that kind of staff, and we don't have that kind of drive to do that. So.
No, and that's one of the things, and we've always stayed away from criticizing other media outlets, and I'm not specifically aiming at anybody, But I sometimes wonder, even if our friends, the hosts at certain radio stations are kind of like, hey, do we really have to carry every press conference live, or can we maybe figure out if there's anything of note in it before we play it back or cut it down? Or, but they're official broadcast partners of the Cleveland Browns, so I think they have to. But we've gotten to this point where we no longer, it's like inventory, but we're not looking at the inventory to figure out what stuff we want to buy and pull off the shelf and take home with us. We're just, in the sports media world, we're taking it all home, or we're doing it all. And I think part of that is our fault too. You know, we used to listen to some of those radio interviews with media members or players, and we'd pick apart a quote here, a quote there, a quote, and we turn one interview into like three or four headlines. And so it's kind of nice to know that we're not going to try and get back there and continue to build the non-Twitter length voice. So for those who, I mean, obviously people who've read the stuff that you've contributed in the roundtables and your own posts and everything else, they see that part of it. Can you tell people a little bit about what else you've been doing kind of behind the scenes and what your role's been for the last few years?
I've been, was a writer, which is a staff writer. Craig brought me on originally to do Brown stuff, football stuff. But my first piece was actually Danny Salazar was on a rehab stint in Mahoning Valley, where actually I live. And I was able to go down and watch him play for the Scrappers, pitch for Scrappers, and was able to get back and do a post-game press conference. And actually got word from him that he had been hurt most of that year. And I think it was around 2016, 2017 when that happened. So I don't know if it was the World Series year, but it might have been the year after. I don't 100% remember. But it was great. And so I've been writing about Indians and Browns, a little bit of Cavs when I've been there. It's not really my focus. And then about, I think, 2 years ago, you guys brought me on as an editor. And most of the stuff that was coming out had my fingerprints over it, just looking over and everything, scheduling all the posts. And probably about the last 6 months, I've given it over to Josh Baloha, who actually is going to move up into the editor spot for us. He's been doing most of the morning stuff. And so as I move up, that vacates the editor spot. So Josh is going to move up into mine there. I'm actually in. This season has got me interested in the Cavs. I have the shirt on, as I said. So, and Josh would want me to make sure that you were aware that Dean Wade was going off tonight. So,
I know I'm president of the Dean Wade fan club. So, I already knew that, obviously.
Right, right. You got the push notification, I'm sure. So
I believe I got dubbed the president of the Dean Wade fan club because I said that I would rather have him, the poor man's Kevin Love, than Kevin Love in his, you know, physically broken down state. And then you think he's better than Kevin Love? I was like, that's not really what I said, but
right.
Okay, whatever. It's fine. At this stage of the game, I don't even mind being taken out of context. I no longer take things personally. I just don't care that much. Unless we're talking about Sashi Brown, and then I get triggered, I get angry, and then the flames come bursting out of my eyeballs.
That's when the really bad push notifications come to your phone. So, I still don't actually know what role he's doing for the Wizards and or the parent company that he has that he's working for, but it's whatever. I'm not going to get into the Sashi Wars with you on this one at this point in time. That's long dead at this point. So.
It's just been, I've fought them too many times. I'm a grizzled veteran.
We're on the greener pastures. We have Barry and Stefanski, and that's all that we need to worry about at this point. So,
yeah. So what do you think the biggest needs are right now? I mean, obviously we've got, I think I read today, we've got 133 days until the first Guardians game. Spring training presumably starts sometime before that. We're deep into a Cavs season already that has been surprisingly fun and good. If I read another person who says, you know, the Cavs are surprisingly fun, I read it one more time on Twitter. Cavs?
But yeah, there's always a possibility of that. We currently don't have anybody who writes about the Cavs on staff pretty regularly. I mean, every once in a while, Josh might drop something in, or Joe Gilbert goes to the games pretty frequently. So, I mean, we may have a Cavs post every 2 weeks, which is, or even once a month, which is not what they deserve at this point, because they're actually doing well. I know also Mitch Kroll, who is one of our big Indians writers, is in med school. So his writing's going to take a little bit. We are actually talking about possibly doing a analytically driven podcast over the baseball season for the Guardians. So that may replace some of the writing that we do, but we'll have a podcast on that one. We always have the Dairy Bros still, but we would have something that would be a little different. But yeah, right now, a Cavs writer is what we're looking for. But any more voices on the Browns, any more voices on the Guardians would be great as they're coming up. I know tomorrow's the 40-man roster deadline, so we'll see some movement tomorrow, as along with also the merch dropping and everything. The at is going to change, so I know that'll be a big day for them moving forward with their organization. But
well, and as you always, as you know, you can take as many Browns writers as you can take, because
absolutely,
you could have 12 Brown stories a day, and they'll get
clicks.
The OBR might feel threatened if you had 12 posts a day, but
right. Right,
but yeah, that, people will read.
If we had 12, we would be doing daily headlines and who missed practice and a 300-piece article on why that's important. But
according to beat reporters, these three people were riding the bike.
Right, and we'd have three different videos, and you know, one person would say there's a video, one person would indicate what he was wearing, and all those kinds of things. So
how many of those blog posts do you think have now? Unless you're being paid to write them and put them and get them on a website for a large media site, how many blogs do you think people just open Twitter accounts and stop doing it?
Who, you mean like open like a Substack or just open a Twitter account?
Like, so for example, like all the headlines that we used to do,
yeah,
it's now like a quote tweet with,
that's true,
with 250 or 300 characters or however many Twitter allows nowadays.
I think it's 280, but that's probably about as the answer to your question. I don't know. I know OBR is a big one in town. I know we're up there with them. I don't know of really any other sites that are, you know, big and out there that I think of to click on. I know there's other ones out. I know there's other ones.
Ooh, Dogs by Nature. Never forget Dogs by Nature.
Okay. There you go. I do remember seeing that now too. And I know there's like the Sports Illustrated backed one, yep, or the Fan Sided. I don't know what the names of the sites are. Like, I remember I used to write for Wahoo's on First, which was the Fan Sided, but I honestly don't know what they're called anymore, but,
I used to see a lot more Bleacher Report stuff too.
Yeah, we used to be aggregate on Bleacher Report, which was nice, but and they've kind of backed off on that. I know Sobolewski does most of the stuff for the Browns on Bleacher Report. And Jared Moeller, I think, does the SI. But yeah, I mean, I know their Twitter accounts more than I know where they're writing. So that's
true.
That probably is where that's going. They have a house site, but I watch them on Twitter more than I watch what the site is actually putting out. So
for anybody else, the non-contributors, if they want to help out the site, I know the answer to this, so I'm asking you a question I already know the answer to.
Right.
Like, how can people help? Like, what are we trying to build? What do we need people to do?
Click and share, and like, we have our Discord that we have. We do the game threads on Sundays for the Browns. However dire that might end up getting, if this past Sunday, you know, it definitely needed it. That there was going to be some angst on there, but yep. We try to keep it a little bit cheerier. At least that's my my role more often than not. But we do have our Discord that we can do. We have a Patreon that you can have. And I'll work more on doing more for the Patreon as we go forward. I think that's something that we have kind of pushed off to the side a little bit and just haven't paid enough attention to the Patreon supporters on that. So, but then also honestly sharing what we put out, liking what we put out, those are what get more likes. It's funny, my wife and I, we go to church, and I was talking to a buddy of ours that he didn't know that I wrote for Waiting for Next Year. He had read stuff that I had written before he realized it was me. He just thought it was like written by a different Joe Gerberry, and there's not a different Joe Gerberry. So it's just as simple as that, you know, sharing that stuff and getting it out where you can, other people can see it. That's, even if you're not into the writing, not into the videoing, not into the potting, sharing whatever is out there is the best help that you can be for us.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a story like that too, where we met a family, a couple of other parents at kindergarten orientation, and my kids are 9 and 11. So this is 11 years ago. It's a family and a guy who became, if you're going to podcast, you need a less squeaky chair, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now. So he,
I need a less squeaky chair just in general, but yes.
Yeah. So he and I met, and we started hanging out and whatever else. And it, like the third or fourth time we hung out together and became really good friends, he was like, I've been reading you for years. And he remembered this one time on one of my Friday columns where I wrote about a Pearl Jam song. And that's what finally put him over the edge to realize that he had known me essentially for 7-8 years already. And back when they lived in Chicago, right, we used to read, you know, we used to get a lot of that kind of stuff where we were the hometown voice for people who weren't living here anymore.
Right.
And so those are always kind of the cool stories. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can provide that platform, and you can help provide that platform for the next generation of writers too. So that someday at their kids' kindergarten orientation,
right,
or whatever, or church or whatever the case may be. So, all right. Is there anything else that you think we need to cover that I've missed or I've forgotten about, or anything you just fun you want to talk about?
Not that I think of. I haven't checked in on the game to see where they're at. Now they're back down a little bit, but to be this close with the Warriors and have them up for as long as they did, the Warriors have been playing really well. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's really it. I in the post, like I said, tomorrow, and I think it'll be out probably around like 9 or 10 o'clock. If you have any interest in helping us out, I have my Twitter account in the DM link at the bottom of my section of the post. I have a section where you can email me. Well, like I said, the Discord is always there. The Discord link is on, and message me there if you're interested. Let us know, drop us a line somehow, mention in the comments, someone will see it, and we'll get you guys interested. So,
well, on behalf of the other outgoing owners of Waiting for Next Year, I want to say congrats. I want to say thank you. I'm going to say good luck, even though like I'm going to kind of be around and helping for a little bit. I'm happy to be support. I know Andrew's happy to be that as well. Scott said you're on your own.
Right.
No, I'm kidding, but no, seriously. We're excited for it. You were a natural selection. And we're really excited to see what you do and where you can take it next.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And I want to thank you guys too for believing me for providing the site that, you know, and running it for as long as you guys have. And I said, you guys truly are family. Yeah. And I have Discord up more often than I have anything on my phone, I think. And you guys are there to not only be fans with me, but a support on some of those things that have gone on in my life. So I truly appreciate everything that you guys have done, and that you guys are thinking of me and as the next guy. So,
all right. Well, that wraps it up for us. I want to thank everybody for listening, watching, wherever you are taking in this podcast. We are part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's the waitingfornextyear.com podcast. We'll catch you next time.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.